Good evening. Welcome to the second part of Heartwood. We heard how the king had married a woman of the Fae, and his queen would knit moss for the City of Silver. How he had gone hunting with his best hawk, hound and horse, and never returned. And how his three sons, the eldest, who felt his greatest weakness was the fact that people didn't listen, he might just as well be invisible. And the middle child, who was so changeable, and the youngest, who never knew when to stop. How they had tried to cheer the queen up and she would not listen. And the three of them began to plot, not how they could save the king, for now nearly a year had passed, but how they could save their mother from this grief and sickness that was wasting her away. Heartwood, Part 2. The three princes from the City of Silver sat round the great roaring fire and talked. How could they save their mother? They had tried everything. They had sought the advice of the sages and the wisest men in the land, and they gave advice like, oh, time heals, or she'll get over it, or you've done your best, and it didn't give them any comfort. And they sought the advice of the nursemaids and the physicians, and nobody seemed to know. And on this one evening, their old nursemaid saw the three princes, now almost young men, looking so sorrowful by the fire, that she told them an old story, for she felt it would bring them comfort. She knew the old tales, you see. She hadn't forgotten them like most of the people had. And she told the story of a tree in the centre of the great forest that had leaves that would heal if only one was brave enough and clever enough to find their way to it. Does such a tree exist? Asked the eldest. Who can tell, said the nursemaid, but all stories must have had some grain of truth to keep them rolling through the years and on our tongues. And how would one find such a place? Said the middle child. Well, ask the very old and the very wise, I would say. And then the youngest said, and where would you find the very old and the very wise? In the most unexpected of places. There is an old hermit that lives on the outskirts of the city. Maybe he could help you, if you were serious in such a quest. The three princes talked all night and agreed that there was nothing else they could do. They decided to go in search of such a tree. They packed what they needed and they set off to the cave of the hermit, far beyond the city walls, high up in the mountains at the very edge of the kingdom. Now, what is a hermit? I hear some of you ask, only those that haven't walked this world for quite so long. A hermit, well, it's not a crab, although it is a crab. Now, there's a riddle for you. A hermit is an old, wise person that tends to live alone on the edge of a city. These days, we tend to call them grandparents, and they live in bungalows. They made their way to the cave of the great hermit. And there in that cave, was an old man. Well, he looked old. You couldn't really tell how old he is or what he even looked like. There was so many layers of dirt on his face, so much hair that you couldn't tell whether he was truly human or not. His hair, grey, long and lanky, seemed to knit itself into his beard, and his beard went on for so long that you couldn't really tell where it ended, and he seemed to wrap it around himself like some strange hirsute garment. When he saw the three lads approaching, he looked up and said, "Who are you?" Well brought up, they said, "We are the three princes from the City of Silver, and we have come to seek your knowledge and advice." Well, flattered the hermit. beckoned them inside his cave, put a kettle on to boil, seemed to think for a while, mesmerized by the flames, and then looked up and started as if he had never seen the three boys before and went, "Oh, who are you?" "We've just told you," they said. "We're the three princes from the City of Silver." "And why are you here?" said the hermit. "Well," said the eldest, "you did ask us in for tea," and the hermit noticed the kettle beginning to boil, nodded. "And why else?" "Well," said the middle, "we're here to find out about the tree, the magical healing tree that grows within the great forest." "Well," said the hermit, I have no memory for such things. Truth be told, I cannot remember one thing from one minute to the next." And with that, the kettle began to boil, and the hermit nearly jumped out of his skin and said, "What's that?" "It's your kettle," they said. "And, oh, I was making tea." And he made them a mug of tea each. And they contemplated on the tea for a moment, and the hermit seemed lost in looking at the swirling liquid in his mug. When he looked up and said, "Who are you?" Well, the eldest prince was beginning to lose his temper. In truth, so was the middle one. "We are the three princes. We've already told you. And why are you here?" And the youngest, who knew what it was like never to know when to stop, said, "We're here to seek the magical healing tree." "I don't know anything about anything," said the hermit. "I just sit here. I don't even know why people think I'm wise. They come and they go, and I don't even remember who they are. But I will tell you this. I am a very good dreamer. I don't know if I've always been a very good dreamer, for in truth I cannot remember. But I know that I do have very, very good dreams. Stay with me tonight, and I will have a dream, and in the morning I will tell you, and maybe it will help." And so they did. They passed the night rolled up in their blankets on the floor of the hermit's cave. He snored so loudly. It is a known fact that when adults, or anyone indeed, snores, you should never wake them up, because they are having their most wonderful thoughts. He snored so loudly that the boulders in the hills began to tremble and roll down towards the valleys. He snored so loudly that the cups in the houses at the bottom of the great mountain began to rattle and jump on the shelves. He snored so loudly that the thunderclouds began to come and see what the noise was, and it began to rain. And in the morning, where the boulders had rolled down, there was a great, great empty hole, and where the rain had rained, it filled up that hole, and there was a great lake where there had not been one the night before. Of course, when the hermit woke up and saw the three boys, what do you think the first thing he said was? "Who are you?" And the three boys shook their heads and said, "We are the three princes from the City of Silver." "Really?" he said. "That's amazing. Why are you here?" And they smiled and they said, "You were going to make us tea." He made tea, and they asked him about his dreams. And he said that he had just one dream, a riddle that bounced around his skull all night as if it was raining outside, which indeed it had been. "And what's the riddle?" said all three boys together. "Cold as death, alive without breath, clad in armour, never clinking, my eye I see, but never blinking." "If you can solve that riddle," he said, "I believe I might be able to help you." Well, the three boys thanked him, and they went outside and they pondered such a riddle. Cold as death, but alive without breath, clad in armour that never clinks, and an eye that never blinks. What could it possibly be? And I will count to three while you decide. One, two, three. It is, of course, a fish. Well, where would they find a fish, they thought. And then they saw the great pond, the lake that had been formed in the night from the boulders and the rain. And they made their way up to the edge of the lake. And there, although they had no idea how it could have got there, was a great fish swimming around in the lake. They caught it and brought it down and presented it to the hermit. There, they said, you can cook breakfast now. And the hermit, you know, the first thing he said was, ha ha, who are you? Well, the whole conversation went on as much as you can probably predict. And eventually the fish was cooked, but inside the fish, there was a piece of parchment. And when the hermit rolled it out, it was a map of the great forest. And who knows how that parchment got inside that fish and how that fish came to be there. Well, that would be more stories than I could tell you this night. But they took that parchment and they thanked the hermit and they set off to find the magical healing tree. End of part 2.